Hello. Thanks for being with us. Welcome back to Part 6 of Revelation's Synopsis of End Time Events. Last week, in Part 5, we talked about many of the traits of the second beast and also those traits which describe the first beast. But there's a specific point I'd like to bring out concerning the image of the beast. And that is, the image of the beast is a picture or a portrayal of the first beast. But the damage that the image of the beast does is no different than the damage that is done by the beast itself or by its parent image, Satan. Evil is manifested in the earth in many different ways, but the nature of evil is the same for Satan, the beast, or the false prophet. And this may seem like overkill of the subject, but you must understand that the evilness of Satan does not have to be manifested openly. It does not have to be outwardly evident in order to bring about the destruction of souls. Let me explain this in a little more detail. Try to comprehend, if you would, that the warfare between good and evil is fought in the minds of men and not on a physical battlefield. It's in the mind that Satan does his evil work. It's only through lies that Satan has power, and it's through lies that humans suffer the devil's destruction to their souls. When Satan tempts people, he puts thoughts into their minds. His power is based on being able to deceive. To be deceived is to enter a state of mind in which you believe something to be true that is really a lie. Satan is the father of liars and is, therefore, the master of lies. It is his strength. It is through lies that Satan is attempting to dethrone God. He spreads his lies like a flood of water. It is the sea of lies which drowns men in destruction. But all he really does is to present thoughts to mankind which insinuate that God is not righteous. Satan, using various means, presents thoughts which are in opposition to God and to his ways. When God says that homosexuality is an abomination, Satan presents thoughts contrary to this. When God says that you should not kill, Satan presents thoughts that are contrary. No matter what the variety or type of sin is that God hates, Satan presents an alternate viewpoint in the hope of convincing the people of earth that God's viewpoint is not right. However, the most important thing Satan is doing is just to present anything and everything that is contrary to the will of God. This is Satan's basic plan of action, and it started out this way in the Garden of Eden. God had given Adam and Eve instructions that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was off limits. The fruit of that tree was not to be eaten, for if they ate the fruit of that tree, they would die. Of course, we're well aware of the story. But Satan came along and presented a different idea. It was an idea that was contrary to God's will. It was just a simple mind game. Satan presented an alternate concept to God's instructions, and he did it just by planting a thought in Eve's mind. He just spoke words which were contrary to the instructions of God, and Eve processed that information in her mind. And when she failed to reject Satan's opposing idea, she became deceived. She used her mind to sort out the information, but Satan's words were too deceptive. Eve's response was to give in to the mental suggestion of Satan and allow his lie to remain in her mind rather than to cast it out. Of course, the rest is history. It is this concept of deception that we fight. As humans, we need the truth in order to survive the threat of death. But if the thoughts of our minds become overwhelmed with lies and the truth of God becomes unclear, then we make decisions which are unhealthy for our souls. In short, we have become deceived by the suggestions of Satan that he has planted in our minds. The Bible in John 8:32 tells us that the truth will set us free. Also, in Romans 12:2, we are told that in order to reject conformity with this world and to line up with God's will, we need to have our minds renewed. It is our minds where we receive suggestions of evil. It is our minds where Satan puts his evil suggestions, his evil thoughts, and paints his evil pictures of things which are contrary to the true word of God. It is the mind that must be cleared of confusion, and it is the mind which must be free of Satan's deception. But all Satan has to do is to plant a thought of evilness in your mind, and then you have to deal with it. No, you can't just ignore it. There is not one bit of information that enters your mind that you can just ignore, at least not until you process the information and put it in its rightful place. When Satan suggests something that is contrary to the righteous nature of God, then you have to determine the truth of that suggestion or the falseness of it. Of course, many things are easy to sort out, but Satan is more deceptive than anything else in existence, and he can trip you up easier than you might like to imagine. He is, according to the words of God himself, wiser than Daniel. Satan is good at presenting thoughts into your mind. Of course, when you recognize the evil, you can refuse to entertain those thoughts. But before you can refuse the evil and eject Satan from your mind, you will have to become convinced that what he is presenting to you really is evilness. And you can only do this by making certain that God's truth is established firmly in you. If you don't know truth very well, then you're not going to be able to reject Satan very well either, because Satan's lies can only be dispelled by the truth of God. Let's face it. Truth and lies are only processed in the minds of men. The actions of evil are not the real battle. The battle between good and evil is in the minds of men, for God has clearly made known to mankind that he is the author of righteousness. This means that God has clearly shown that he is right in all things. Satan, on the other hand, has attempted to overturn God's claims of being right in all things, and is busy working in the minds of men in order to convince mankind that God is not really necessary or worth seeking. Satan does this by his lies, which he knows can very well destroy the truth of God's word if people do not reject the lies. If the lies of Satan were allowed to remain within the minds of men, then the truth of God would be eventually cast out. It is this rebellion against the truth that Satan is all about. And it is in the minds of people, including your mind, that Satan is trying his best to destroy God. It is for this reason that you must guard your mind. What goes into your mind will affect the truth of God. Now, this doesn't mean that the truth of God cannot stand the onslaught of Satan, but it does mean that if you allow the lies of Satan to continually enter into your mind, and you do nothing to eject those lies, then they will stay there and make mental confusion for you. You will become confused by the lies of Satan if you don't cast him out. And you can only cast him out by casting out his lies. If the suggestions of evil things are allowed to remain, then the spirits of evil can stay in you and continue to work. The final end of any person who continually entertains the suggestions of the devil is a complete loss of understanding for the truth of God. But then, this doesn't need to happen. You can prevent much of the destruction just by casting out any evil thought which is in opposition to the righteousness of God. You do this by guarding your eyes and your ears. The eyes and the ears are the doorways to your mind. Of course, Satan knows this fact very well. Your eyes and your ears take images and sounds and pass them into your brain. Once the images and sounds pass into your brain, you must process that information. If you don't try to sort out the information, you will become deceived. However, if you continue to entertain suggestions of evil in the form of images and sounds which are contrary to the righteousness of God, you will end up losing the understanding of truth and will begin to believe the lies. And this is a concept of which most people seem to be ignorant. Most people, and I am including Christians in this equation, think that they can entertain evil images and sounds, and that the images will just pass in through the eyes and out the back of the head, and that the sounds will just enter in one ear and go out the other. This, of course, is a stupid concept. It is only an accepted concept when a person is very much deceived. And this is why the second beast of Revelation 13 causes the people of earth to make an image of the first beast, and it is the reason that the image is made to speak. It's a concept that God's word tries to explain in order to warn people of Satan's plan of attack. The image of the beast, coupled with the blasphemous sounds of the beast, enters into the minds of people and destroys the truth of God's word. These suggestions of evil are only suggestions, but nevertheless they bring in doubt concerning God's word. It is the doubt that destroys truth so effectively, and the truth of God is replaced by the lie when the lie is permitted to remain. Therefore, doubt works to dispel faith. When doubt is firmly established in a man, then the truth is cast out. And when the truth is cast out, then God is no longer in control of that man, but Satan then reigns supreme in that man's heart. It is the lies of Satan which must be stopped from having continual access to our minds. If we allow images and sounds to continually enter our minds through our eyes and ears, we're putting our souls at risk. The second beast of Revelation causes the people of earth to create an image of the beast which also speaks. And once this image of the beast is allowed access to the minds of men through men's eyes and ears, Satan is able to control the hearts of these men. In short, the image of the beast is an image of Satan himself, for the first beast of Revelation is, in general, the animal nature of Satan, which is in opposition to the righteous nature of God. The television, movies, and other forms of images and sounds are now well established in the earth. Mankind is, at this very time, well down the path of deception, and the images and sounds that are projected on the screens of televisions, movies, computers, and other forms give images and sounds which give an accurate description of the beast concept. The programming on our televisions is evil. There's hardly any person, whether Christian or not, who will not admit that the images and sounds presented to us in this present age through these devices are evil. However, most non-Christians and many Christians don't seem to care that evil permeates their homes and brainwashes their families. And the real deception to these people is not that the images and sounds are supposed to be good, but that the images and sounds won't hurt you because they're not the real thing. Even Christians seem to think they can watch actors and actresses do and say things that would be totally evil if done offstage, but think that if done onstage, that there's nothing wrong with it because it's just pretend. And this is where Christianity must make a break from the system of world stupidity. The evil of Satan works in the mind, whether it gets there by a real event or by a simulated portrayal. It is by this means that the image of the beast is so successful. Christians would never think of robbing a bank or killing someone, or would never think of going to a strip joint, but yet they will sit in their living rooms and watch it acted out by actors and actresses and will never even realize that Satan has just presented images and sounds to them through their eyes and ears. They will never realize that the evil nature of Satan has just been allowed to enter into their minds where it can set up residence and cause confusion to the truth of God. Whether the image you see and the sounds you hear are real or make-believe, they are still the same evilness of Satan, and they have still entered into your mind. All it takes to destroy truth is to saturate the minds of men with an abundance of evil-natured thought, and soon the minds of men will be mush. This filth of images and sounds of the beast is an abomination to God, and its only result will be to cause a complete desolation to all living things. A wasteland is a desolate place. It is a place where life has no foothold. The filthiness of Satan's beast nature will destroy the souls of men, for it will destroy the truth of God's righteousness. No, the abomination is not the TV set or the movie projector and screen. The box and the silver screen are not the real invention that mankind created. What mankind really created, by the suggestion of the second beast of Revelation 13, was a way for the filthiness of Satan's beast nature to be displayed to the eyes and ears of mankind. And this invention has become extremely successful in Satan's war plans. It is Satan's ultimate weapon, and it is guaranteed to destroy the truth of God in the minds of any person who continually entertains the sights and sounds of evilness. And as it says in Revelation 13, it will accomplish that goal in any man, whether he is rich, poor, young, or old. Think about it. No one in this world is exempt from the influence of the silver screen. Do you see this at all? Abomination means ultimate filth of evil. Desolation means to be void of life, to be empty, to have no provision of need. Make no mistake, the real abomination of desolation, the total filth which destroys life, is Satan. But the image of the beast is the method that Satan has used to place his abomination that makes desolate into the temple of God. It is through the TV, movies, and other forms of imagery and sounds that Satan destroys, and this method of presentation destroys because the audio and visual programming is an accurate depiction of Satan's beast nature. The beast nature of Satan is destroying the righteous nature of God through the creation of electronic imagery and sounds, and God's children are among those who are making this happen. They are also among those who are being destroyed by the very invention that mankind themselves created. But please understand, the images and sounds of the beast nature are getting worse and worse, and to be sure, this filthiness will make you desolate. But the real warning message of Revelation 13 is that it will only destroy those people who love the beast nature. Those who truly love the righteous nature of God will not be destroyed because they will refuse to allow Satan access to their minds. but the deception is great. It is so great that the closer we get to the end of time, the closer we also get to the possibility of God's people all being destroyed. But this is why God calls out to his people and says, "Come out of her, my people, and be not a partaker of her plagues." This is referring to the scriptures concerning Great Babylon, the spiritual city of the wicked who live in opposition to the righteousness of God. God's spiritual city is Jerusalem, and it is the people who love the righteous nature of God who live there. The abomination of desolation is already here, and it has already been placed in the holy place, just as the Bible prophesied it to be. And Christians must realize that we are the temple of God. Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians 3:16. Jesus said that he would build a temple which was not made with hands. The abomination that makes desolate is already sitting in the temple, for Christians everywhere have been deceived into taking the image of the beast home with them and setting the idol up in their living rooms. Therefore, Satan sits on his throne in you, the temple of God, and disperses his suggestions of filth directly to you and to your family. And the deception is so great that Christians everywhere are deceived into thinking that they will be raptured before any of this takes place. As usual, Christians are only able to see with physical eyes. They are looking so earnestly for a man to call himself God and to sit in a reconstructed physical temple in Jerusalem that they can't comprehend how Satan, the great deceiver, is deceiving them. The abomination of desolation has already been placed in the temple of God, for you are the temple, and you yourself have brought in this idol and set it up in your own sanctuaries. This means you have allowed Satan to come into your homes and to preach his evil doctrine. He can show you images and give you sounds that are anti-Christ, anti-God, and anti-everything that is godly and right. He is trying to convince the whole world that the beast nature is more preferred than the righteous nature of God. He throws in just a little programming that is acceptable, but very little. In this current age, the programming of television and movies has become so filled with filthiness that there is hardly any redeeming value in any of it. But Christians continue to watch the evilness because they think that everything is just pretend. They think that because the people are just acting and because the situations are just staged, that it isn't really real. But although the situations are make-believe, the spirit of the make-believe is the same spirit that comes from the real live situations. But Christians think they can watch make-believe and that it is different than taking part in the real thing. This is the great deception of Satan, and he is good at what he does. The abomination of desolation has been placed in the holy temple of God, for you are the temple, and you yourself have invited the idol in. Satan stands in your living room and daily gives you suggestive thoughts that are contrary to the righteousness of God. How long do you think you can hang on before his brainwashing techniques finally overwhelm your understanding of truth and your soul is destroyed? Apparently, you must think you are immune to deception. At least, it seems that's what Christians must think. Christians must think that they cannot be touched with Satan's evilness. Yet the evilness has already been set up in their houses and even in their churches, and they have been there for years and years and years. It is high time to wake up and cast the evilness out of your houses. It is time to cleanse the temple. And if you don't soon see the evil, and if you don't soon cleanse the evilness from your own temple, then when Jesus Christ comes in the clouds of heaven, he himself will cleanse his temple. But those who have refused to come out from among them and be separate will be cast out of his righteous city forever. Don't be deceived. The abomination of desolation is already sitting in you, and you desperately need God to open your eyes and ears before it is too late.